You know, this is going to be a busy week of ministry. This is going to be a busy week of ministry here at Oakmount. And you know, it would be really, really easy for each one of us to get frustrated, to get fatigued, to get flustered, and maybe even get fed up just a little bit. It'd be real easy, right? But with our VBS and fireworks outreach this week, I want to encourage you, it doesn't have to be that way. Now, I am thankful through the years that I've been here, nearly seven, real close to 7 years now, being your pastor. I've not sensed a whole lot of frustration during these busy times. I mean, I know you get tired. I know you get a little bit weary. This is one time, maybe the only time in history that this will ever happen, but we put our VBS and our fireworks right together. I thought it might bring some of the parents out. So the possibility is there. And I guarantee you that things are going to go wrong. I just guarantee you. I mean, that's not even a question in my brain. There's going to be some things that go wrong. I guarantee you that the devil will fight it hard. I think he already is. Because the devil doesn't like people to hear the gospel. And they don't like things like fireworks outreach where you give them a gospel tract. They don't like these things called Vacation Bible School where we encourage and care about these kids and tell them about Jesus. The devil doesn't like it. It's probably going to be hot. It might be wet. Who knows? It's probably going to be humid. We got all those things working against us. We already got one AC unit out. Maybe it'll be fixed soon. We don't know. But the devil's going to work. Human nature's going to work. You're going to feel, I guarantee you, you're going to feel more tired than probably you really are because the devil says, oh, you don't want to go out tonight and help. You're too tired. And you'll be tempted to come and be frustrated and fussy, even at the preacher sometimes. And you don't want to be frustrated and fussy with the preacher. And I don't want you to be fussy and frustrated with the preacher. But here, in ministry, it's never easy, but it's always blessed. Today we're going to be talking about how to face a busy week of ministry. How to face a busy week of ministry. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, we're only going to be looking at verses 35, 36, 37, and 38. So we're only looking at four verses in particular. And this is applicable to more than just a busy week of ministry, but I'm specifically applying it because that's what we're going to look at is this week. We're going to be looking at a busy week of ministry. So again, you say, well, I don't have anything to do with it. I'm not going to be here. But you can still apply these principles to your life. And it's important what we're going to look at today. How to face a busy week of ministry. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, before I read that, Jesus was in the area around Capernaum, which is the northern side of the Sea of Galilee, okay? That's where he's at. And he's ministering. He has his disciples there. He's ministering to people, as we're going to look at in just a moment. And I'm sure that there was a lot of times that Jesus felt tired, right? I'm sure that at least I realize he was fully human and fully God. I'm sure there were lots of times that people disappointed him that he encountered. Don't you agree with that? But he's going to give us some ideas here and some pointers as we look at this about how we should face ministry, okay? I'm going to read verses 35 to 38. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching." What was he preaching? "The gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was," what? "Moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Today, how to face a busy week of ministry. I will tell you that every week of Jesus' life on this earth was a busy week. Would y'all agree with that? He was so concerned with spreading the gospel. He was so concerned with making his Father happy and doing his will in particular. How to face a busy week of ministry. Number one, confidence in our Lord's commission. Confidence in our Lord's commission. You say, we're facing a busy week, preacher. How can we go about it? We need to be confident that the Lord wants us to do what we're doing. Really? We need to be confident when we come in here. Now, are there times and things that might scare us? Absolutely. You say, preacher, I'm doing this craft. I'm the craft leader, and I'm working on this here craft. And there's a few tricky spots, and I'm afraid some of the kids may not get it. And if they don't get it, the whole craft is... So you may be a little bit nervous about it, but you need to come in and say, you know what? I'm going to do my best for Jesus. And the teachers say, you know what? It's kind of hard to fit that all in the time frame we have, but we're going to do it. Or you may be a game leader and you say, we're not sure if we're outside or not. You know, one thing that helps us minister for the Lord is confidence of the Lord's commission. You see, Jesus set the example. Look at what he did. Jesus went about all the cities and villages. And what was he doing? It says, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now we can apply two of those to our ministry to young people called Vacation Bible School. We can apply two of those to the fireworks outreach. Now, last part, healing every sickness. God doesn't give us power to heal people today like he did at this time when Jesus was on the earth. Now, that was a sign that he was from God. Now, we don't have that today, but the other two things that he did, we can follow. What was he doing? He was preaching and teaching the gospel. Preaching and teaching the gospel. And if we look at his example, don't you think we should be doing the same thing? Now, I'm sure that during this week, the thought may cross your brain. You know what? I'd rather be sitting in my air conditioning. I'd rather be sitting in my recliner. I'd rather be sipping a sweet tea. But you know what? We've all been commissioned. We've all been commissioned to go out and share the gospel. Now, y'all got really quiet on me there. Maybe you're thinking that now. It was convicting when I said that. You might have been sitting there thinking, you know what, I'd rather be sitting in my recliner now, preacher, rather than listen to you preach. Confidence in our Lord's commission. Jesus set the example. He was preaching and he was teaching the gospel. It says the gospel of the kingdom. You know, the good news of the kingdom. Now, we know the rest of the story, don't we? We know the complete story. Now, Jesus did too because he was God and the Son of God. But we know the gospel. In its strictest terms, it's what? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. We know that why he came to earth. We know that he died upon the cross. And it's our responsibility to share that good news, to preach, proclaim, to teach the good news of the gospel. But you know, there's other places in the Bible that tell us that. What about in Mark chapter, I like this, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Notice, and it says, and he said unto them, now that's Jesus said unto them, his disciples, notice what he says, go ye into all the world, and what? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. In Matthew 28:19, Matthew's account of the Great Commission. Notice in that one verse what it says. Go ye therefore, and what? Teach all nations. What are we supposed to teach them? The gospel. The gospel. Now, one thing that should encourage us and help us get here on time on throughout the nights of the week that we have Vacation Bible School, and should help us and encourage us through the fireworks outreach. You know what? It ought to be the fact. We're commissioned to do this. You know, even if man says, no, 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 you can't do that. Even if government says, you can't do that. Something higher than anything has said, you know what? I'm commissioned to do this. So that should encourage us to say, you know what? I'm gonna persevere. I'm gonna, you know, that group that I'm leading as a group care leader, as I take them around, what are they called? Prospectors or explorers or what are they called? I ask her too quick. But who are the group care leaders? What are they called? The people that take them around? Explorers. I'm not sure what they're called, but anyway, whoever that, you're going to come home Monday night and you say, what? I believe I probably have the worst group in Vacation Bible School. But you got to remember, we're not doing this just to entertain the kids, even though they are. We're not doing this so that we all have a blast and they have a blast and everything is good and we have good fellowship and we have good snacks and we have... No, we're doing it because we are commissioned to do things like this to preach and teach the gospel. You know, some of these ones that will come to Vacation Bible School, they have never heard, some have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And I fully get it. Some of the young ones, they won't soak it all in and get it completely. We don't push anybody toward the gospel. We don't twist their arm. We don't do this real emotional thing and make everybody, but we want to definitely share it. And when they get it old enough to kind of understand and comprehend what's going on, God can work and those folks can be saved. And some of those ones that come to Vacation Bible School are old enough and they've heard it enough and they can be saved this week. You see, we're on a mission. You know, part of commission is the word mission. We're on a mission to share the gospel with those little ones. So when you get frustrated, things go wrong, you have a flat tire on your car, your dog's not feeling well, and all those things, say, you know what? But I still got to go if I can because I'm commissioned. You know, there's going to be a lot of moving parts this week. You know, when we step up to help with crafts or games or snacks or teaching or leading that group or the van route, patrolling the property, registration, leading in the songs, on and on. We are simply doing what the God of heaven told us to do, share the gospel. And at the fireworks outreach, whether we're manning the bounce house, giving out food, parking cars, passing out hot dogs, giving out tracts. It's part of the big picture of sharing the gospel with those who need to hear the gospel. How to face a busy week of ministry. First of all, we have to have confidence in our Lord's commission. Now, that's what he did. He was preaching and teaching the gospel. We need to do the same. Number two, we need to have compassion for the lost. Compassion for the lost. Notice this, Jesus in all of his busyness, and even in all of our busyness, we can't be any busier than Jesus was. But notice his response to the people that he encountered. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was moved with compassion. It suggests strong emotion. It means to feel deep sympathy. The idea of the noun here, sympathy, affection, or inward feeling. You know, when we think about the loss, when we observe the loss, do you know every one of us should be moved with compassion? I mean, if you've been noticing lately, the people of the world, They're even looking more and more radical. Have you noticed that? But rather than just seeing how radical they are when we see them with these eyes, rather than, you know, getting all hyped up and mad and angry, now there is good righteous indignation. Sin is still sin, okay? Don't get me wrong there. But when we look at them, we also should be moved with compassion. Jesus was. You know, a lot of times we hear a song and we say, boy, that song really moved me. You know, maybe we are at a ball game or something and we feel moved. Ah, man, we just lost by 1 point, or we won by 1 point. So we're moved. Maybe we think of a memory of something and we're like, we're really moved. We watch a movie and tears well up in our eyes because of a movie. A made-up movie. We got people all around us, and there's nothing wrong with being moved by those things. But if anything should move us, it ought to be when we look at the lost people around us. And notice it says they fainted. There's a lot of weary people in the world today. It says, and we're scattered abroad. They're going this direction and that direction, trying to find something to fill their lives with. And usually we'd say, that's sin, that's sin, that's sin. You tried 16 things, and every one of them sin. Just try Jesus. But that's the kind of people that are out there. We need to look at people with the compassion that Jesus had. They fainted or were weary. They were scattered abroad. They didn't have a foundation. They didn't have a leader. And it says, as sheep having no shepherd. You know, one of the big responsibilities, from what I understand, of a shepherd was to protect the sheep. So they're kind of going through life. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody can help me. Nobody without a shepherd. I'm thankful that Jesus is the shepherd, the great shepherd, aren't you? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But the world's saying, I don't have a shepherd. I don't have a foundation. I don't have a leader. When we look at them, we need to be moved with compassion. There's 9 verses in the Gospels that mention that Jesus showed compassion to people. And you know what? There's going to be some people up here on this hill this week for vacation Bible school, maybe dropping their kids off, or maybe the kids themselves. There's going to be some people up on the hill at our fireworks outreach who do not look like us. They do not think like us. They do not talk like us. They do not live the way that we live. But guess what? Guess what we need to do? We need to love them. We need to show them compassion. You know, when in the fireworks, I'm kind of combining the two ministries because they're right here before us. But when you're giving them a bag of chips, we need to smile at them. Right? And when they say thank you, if they do, oh, you're more than welcome. Glad to do it. You see, we got to have compassion on people. Not just in ministries that we're doing like fireworks and vacation, but all the people of this world that are lost. If you want to be like Jesus, he had compassion on people. And that needs to be you, and that needs to be me. Now again, you know me. You know me well enough. You know where I stand. Sin is still sin. I'm not saying condoning what they're doing, but the only way they're going to stop doing what they're doing is if we love them to Jesus. Does that make sense? You see, how to face a busy week of ministry. Really, how to face life. But number one, confidence in our Lord's commission. He's given every one of us a commission to share the gospel. If we're not doing it, we're not being obedient to the Lord. Second, compassion for the lost. Jesus showed compassion to these people. They were basically hopeless. And Jesus looked out as the Son of God, and he said, you know what, I have compassion. I'm moved with strong emotion because of the trouble they're in and all the things they're going through. You and I need to share that compassion. Number three, how to face a busy week of ministry. Comprehension of the harvest. Comprehension of the harvest. Look at verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples. Now that's big. To his disciples. They were serving, right? They were serving the Lord. They were already laboring, right? But he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, the idea of the harvest truly is plenteous. It's a present tense. You know, I really believe that the harvest even today is plenteous. You know, Luke's account of this, basically the harvest truly is great. Great. There's a lot of people that need Jesus. And I really think as we watch these vacation Bible school students come in, as we watch them sing the songs, as we watch them play the games and eat their snack and doing their craft, we need to look at them and say, you know what? This could be the harvest right here. You know, some of these little boys and girls, and it goes up through eighth grade, so they're a little bit older if we have any of the older ones that come. You know, we can look at them and say, you know what? This is the harvest. You know, there's some of those that need to hear the gospel. And their hearts are ready. And they understand. And when we share it, you know, some of those, I'm confident, will get saved this week. And when we see the people, we had 200 to 300 people up on this hill last fireworks outreach. Some of them may be ready to be saved. So when we give them the gospel, I really believe the harvest is still plenteous. We just don't look hard enough. And we give them a gospel, they may take it home, put it somewhere, read it in a month or two or a year and look at it and get saved. Or they may take it home and look at it and get saved right there in their house, right after fireworks is over. And they go back home. You know, we got to keep in mind, we got to comprehend that the Lord is still saving people. And we still got to keep in mind, lots of people need to be saved. You know, John chapter 4 and verse 35. Passage of scripture here. Jesus speaking in John chapter 4. Notice what it says. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know, I really don't think that that's just at Jesus time and as he's talking to his disciples. I think he's talking to us. And I realize that people are not generally as receptive to the gospel as they used to be, but I think if we look hard enough and long enough, some of them are ready to be saved. And God has used other people to throw seeds in there. Maybe they've gone to this Sunday school of this church. Maybe they've gone to another vacation Bible school somewhere else. Maybe their mom and dad talk to them every once in a while. Maybe not serving the Lord, but maybe talking to them about the Lord some. We'll have some kids that come from good Christian families and they've heard it. And it might be right during vacation Bible school that we get the privilege of leading them to a saving faith in Jesus. Isn't that something? You know what? One way to face this week, this difficult or stressful week perhaps, is to remember some of these kids need Jesus and they may be ready. And some of these folks who are here at our fireworks outreach, they may be ready to be saved. So we need to be prayed up, fessed up, and ready to serve. Right? Prayed up, fessed up, read up, and ready to serve. I'm pretty sure, I know Tim and Angela have a bunch of tomato plants. How many tomato plants? 140. I can hardly even count to 140. But 140 tomato plants. And I'm sure, I'm glad Tim can't really hear me. I think he's in the back, so he can't correct me. But I'm sure that when the time comes, they can look out on all those 140 tomato plants because they've gotten bigger and they've started to turn red. And then eventually they'll get really red. And then when you pick those tomatoes, why do you pick those tomatoes? Because they are ripe. They're ready. In a very similar way, if we look hard enough, I believe there's people that are ready to be saved. We just got to make sure we're doing our best to share the gospel with them. We need to comprehend the harvest is ready. How to face a busy week of ministry. Number one, We need to have confidence in our Lord's commission. When we minister for the Lord, and every ministry of our church ought to point people to Jesus. Seriously. I mean, even if it's more of an in-house fellowship type of thing, it should be drawing people, Christians, closer to Jesus, right? And when we have these outreaches, it needs to be very evangelistic. That's why we give out gospel tracts with a bottle of water and a hot dog, bag of chips. We give them a gospel tract because that's what's going to last. That's why on the Vacation Bible School, usually the night I teach, I pick that night every year, I share the gospel very clearly. And I ask them, again, I don't push them. They're not pressured. But if they want to talk to someone, and then I'll send them out of the room and they'll go talk to Ryan or Jason or Amy or someone else who's willing to do it, Miss Linda, somebody, and you get an opportunity. You see, the harvest is out there. Comprehension of the harvest. Number four, last one. A commitment to prayer. A commitment to prayer. How to face a busy week of ministry, confidence in our Lord's commission, compassion for the lost, comprehension of the harvest, and number four, commitment to prayer. Notice what it says. Pray ye therefore, based upon what he just said, is the harvest is plenteous, great, laborers are few. So he says, based upon that, therefore, pray ye, what? To the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, in this passage, he's talking to his disciples. So he's saying, you pray. He's not talking to idle spectators. I mean, these guys gave up their livelihood, these disciples, right? They gave up their life for Jesus. So they're serving. But he says, what I want you to do, he's not talking to spectators saying, you know, really what I think the whole point of the idea of serving the Lord and being a witness and being a harvester, I think the idea is every Christian should be doing that. Seriously. Every Christian should be laboring for Jesus. Now, is that the case? Absolutely not. But it should be a given, don't you figure? And as he's talking to his disciples as laborers, I want you to pray this. Pray that the Lord will send forth more laborers. Now, I've heard this explained. You know, I've heard this preached. And this is absolutely true, what I'm going to tell you, what I've heard preached. Do you realize we need more preachers? We do. I mean, there is a very big shortage of preachers today. You talk to any of the Christian colleges, and I know we've heard of ambassador, different people come, and people have been, I know of a church in the area, from what I gather, I mean, a solid church looking for a youth pastor for 3 years. 3 years. I mean, there's a shortage of preachers. I talked to a pastor friend of mine while I was down in North Carolina, and he said in the Charlotte area, he said basically he knows of 6 churches looking for pastors. I mean, there's a shortage. So part of here when it says, well, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. I think part of that is, yeah, pray that people go into ministry and they commit to the Lord to be preachers. But, you know, also missionaries. You know, I mean, when I was in seminary about 100 years ago, it seems, I mean, there were mission boards, and they were thriving, and they had thousands of missionaries on the field or approaching 1,000 plus. You know, today, a lot of those missionaries have retired off the field. And there's not people rising up saying, I feel God's called me to be a missionary. And can I get a little mean and a little personal for a moment, a little meddling maybe? I would not want to be in the shoes of a parent who hinders their child from going into either pastoral ministry or going into missionary ministry as a parent because you don't want to give up Junior. Let me tell you, I would not want to stand in your shoes as you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and try to explain why you kept Junior from being a preacher or a missionary because you didn't want him to do it because you may not be able to see him as much as you thought you wanted to. Now, I'm serious. There's a God in heaven who has a plan for your child, and if it's on the mission field, that's the blessed place for your child to be. Amen? They'll be more blessed and you'll be more blessed. It seems like to me, I hear it again, time and time again. Not necessarily here, but other places where, you know, their mind's made up. They want to go to the mission field. And then mom and dad say, oh, no, you don't want to do that. You want to make money. You know, the minute you leave this world, that money means absolutely zero. But what you've served the Lord in means everything. So when it says, pray ye therefore, Lord of the harvest, he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. I think it's perfectly legitimate for us to pray, Lord, raise up more preachers. Lord, raise up more missionaries. But you know, as I was thinking about this, you know, it says, pray ye therefore, Lord of the harvest, he'll send forth more laborers. I kind of thought about this a little bit. You know, I think what he might be saying is, as we go forth and share the gospel and people get saved, they become laborers. And then their family becomes a laborer. Right? And they serve the Lord. Now, they're not perfect laborers. None of us are, but they may have a lot to learn. But I kind of think the idea, pray the Lord of the harvest that we'll see folks saved, souls saved, that will go out and reinforce all the workers that are laboring now. You know, that's what I'd love to see happen here at Oakmount. I'd like to see revival break out. I'd love to see people that aren't serving the Lord as Christians come back and serve the Lord and start doing what God wants them to do. But I'd sure like to see someone get saved and it was real. Today, you don't even hardly see real salvation. They come down the aisle and say, preacher, I want to be saved. All right, let me lead you to the Lord. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Give them a week or two, they're gone. You know, people have criticized churches for eons that you don't disciple them the way that you should. You know, you churches, you're all fault. You don't have a new believers class. You're not disciple. I tell you, you can't even get new believers to come to Sunday school anymore. There's a problem there somewhere. Now, let me tell you, when you pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, I really think, absolutely, pray for more preachers. Pray for more missionaries. Pray for more service from God's people that they get serious about it. But I really think implied in here is pray that more people get saved and they join the team and they start serving the Lord. Commitment to prayer. Commitment to prayer. And the Bible does, by the way, say pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. So I would encourage you, this week as things get a little bit weary, pray. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray that God would raise up some of these little kids to be servants of the Lord. Pray that some of the people that come up on this hill get a gospel tract, a hot dog, a bag of chips, and a bottle of water, that they get saved and join the team and start to serve the Lord. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, wouldn't it be cool if some of these VBSers, you know, they grow up and then they start being teachers in Vacation Bible School or craft teachers or snack people or leaders. And some of the people that come up on the hill, you know, they come up and get saved. And next year they're up here doing the same thing we're doing and helping us out. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Pray about that, would you? Today we've been talking about how to face a busy week of ministry. You can face it with confidence in our Lord's commission to share the gospel. You can make up your mind, I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. So I'm going to be faithful through Vacation Bible School. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. Second, how do you face a busy week of ministry? Compassion for the lost. You know, the Lord has shown compassion to us by saving our soul, right? When he looked at people, as lost as they were, he looked at them with compassion. So can we show compassion to those little VBSers that come to Vacation Bible School? Can we show compassion to those that come up on this hill that don't look like us, think like us, or anything? Third, comprehension of the harvest. With all the people that we might see up on this hill, many, 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 many need to be saved. And I believe that some of them are ready to be saved. So let's be sensitive to that. And the last point we looked at, commitment to prayer. Pray about all that's going on up here on the hill this week. Pray for more pastors and missionaries, and pray for more workers. Pray that some of these get saved and they start serving the Lord. And lastly, as I close, if you're here today and you've never, ever trusted Jesus as your Savior, even if there's a question in your brain, I'm telling you, I can put my head on my pillow at night and I know that I'm saved. That's not cocky. That's not because of who I am. That's not because I'm a preacher. That's not because of any merit of my own. It's simply because I put my faith and trust in Jesus. And I know when that was, and I know what I did, and I know that it was real, so I know that I'm saved. So if you're here today and you don't know you're saved, today's the day to settle that. This may be your last day on earth. You don't want to go to hell, separated from God. Settle that today. Or you may be here today and you know that you're lost. You know that you've never trusted Jesus. There is no better time, there's no better place than right now, right here. As we sing here in a moment, come forward, I'll be somewhere down front and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved. I'd love to show you how." But Christians, if you're helping with Vacation Bible School and the fireworks outreach, just take it as a blessing. I mean, just look at it and say, "You know what? I'm going to serve the Lord this week." Bathe it in prayer. Look for the harvest and say, "Lord, which one of those you want to be saved?" What an opportunity. You know, rather than coming about Thursday night for Vacation Bible School and moping around like this, and the preacher says, "How you doing?" "I'm barely making it, preacher." And I realize that physically, but at least spiritually on the inside, we should be tickled to death that we're serving the God of the universe, that we're doing what He wants us to do. And believe me, God will bless you for doing that. God will bless your family for doing that. And God will bless Oak Mound for doing that. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we have a busy week of ministry coming up, Lord. And we're not sure how everything's going to go. I'm sure some things will go wrong. I'm sure that some things will possibly even break down. But Lord, we commit all this week to You. Lord, help us to realize that what we're doing has eternal consequences. And Lord, help us to do our best for You this week through our Vacation Bible School, through our fireworks outreach. And Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to see souls saved. And Lord, just help us to see Christians, Lord, whether they're young ones or whether they're old ones, Lord, get more serious about their service to You through the ministries that we have this week. And Lord, I do pray for that one that may be here today lost without Jesus. I pray that they'll come forward, give them the boldness to do so. Work on them with Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, may they come forward and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." Lord, we love and thank You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.